Good morning again. It's been a while since I've been in this position. See what God will help us do. It's kind of more of a Sunday school lesson, I guess, than anything. But for the next four times that I'm going to be up here, this Sunday and next Sunday, I want to talk about this subject, your mind. Your mind. Everybody's got one, right? Okay, and I want to talk about the battle for the mind, because it is a battle. It's a big battle. It's a spiritual battle. And the question I want to ask is, are you in the right mind? Are you in the right mind? And the first thing we want to look at is, are you in the right mind? I want to look at two opposing mindsets that the Bible lays out for us. And it affects the lives of all people. All people. The next thing, if you come back or if you're here next Sunday, tonight we're going to look at what will it take to change your mind? What's it going to take to change your mind? And we're going to look at there how a growing relationship with Christ can change a person's values and ways of thinking. And then after that, we'll look at what's on your mind. As we walk this walk that we have, focusing our minds on Christ and removing from our lives those ungodly thoughts and those actions and displaying some godly character, hopefully. And then we're going to look at how you can stay in control of your mind, realizing that we are in a spiritual battle today. Amen. We have evil all around us, and we need to know how to protect ourselves using the resources that God provides. But first, I'd like to say that the battle for the mind, it's one of the greatest battles that we have of our day. Our mind. Sometimes it's amazing the things that we're exposed to. Culture that we live in is constantly bombarding us with different types of messages. And if we choose to dwell on these different messages, some will even get into our mind and our thinking and take us away of what we should be thinking about. In the Bible, God places an emphasis on the thoughts of our mind. And our mind plays a dominant role in responding to God. The Bible says to love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy strength. And the last part, he says, with all thy mind. So there's a great emphasis on our mind, according to God's Word. So I want to look at these two opposing mindsets that affects all of us and try to distinguish between these two mindsets and choose to live by the Spirit. Amen? There's three topics that we'll look at. One is the flesh versus the Spirit. The flesh that we live in, that indwelling sin that remains in a person even after conversion to Christ, but every Christian has to resist the influence of the flesh and focus. We tell our children, focus on the power of the Spirit. And then there's a blindness versus sight. People are blinded all every day by the veil of their own sinfulness and by Satan's opposition to the gospel. Thank God that He can remove that veil, amen, so people can be saved and live by faith in Christ. And then there's human wisdom versus the mind of Christ. This wisdom of this world is opposed to the things of God, if you haven't figured that out yet. But as believers, we have the mind of Christ when God saves us and indwells us with that Holy Spirit. And we can live according to that wisdom, according to God's Word, because God's Word is wisdom. And being in that right mind would kind of reminds us of some of those silly sayings that we have heard throughout our years. For instance, he's scatterbrained. or the train left the station and she forgot to get on. Speaking about the mind. Or he couldn't find his foot if he had a road map to it in his hand. Or she would drown before she could figure out how to get out of the rain. And many other sayings about being in our right mind. We're reminded in the Proverbs there, he says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And we have to say that the mind is a terrible thing to pollute, is it not? I remember growing up, and you remember those on the commercials on the TV sets where they would show a frying pan and they'd talk about being on drugs, and they'd crack some eggs on there and they would fry, and they said, "This is your mind on drugs." Today, there are some pretty graphic commercials about drugs. The mind, it's a terrible thing to pollute. And Scripture teaches us that we're faced with a choice between two mindsets. One is that thing that it's opposed to the things of God, and the other that embraces them. Are we embracing God's Word today? Romans chapter number 8, if you want to turn there, be our first part that we'll look at. In Romans chapter number 8, speaking about the mind, listen to the mindset of people living in the flesh as we read these verses. In Romans chapter number 8, beginning in verse 5, the Bible says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." According to these verses, that those who are living according to the flesh, they think about the things of the flesh. Verse 5 tells us that. The mindset of the flesh, it says, is death. It's hostile to God there in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It does not submit itself to God's law. And lastly, it says it's unable to please God, those who live according to the flesh. But it also tells us those who live according to the Spirit. It says they are after the Spirit. They are also after the things of the Spirit. Their mindset, it says, is life and peace. I like that. Paul wrote this book to explain to them his understanding of the gospel before he visited to them. And this is the reason that I believe that Romans contains the widest range of subjects related to the gospel among Paul's writings. Chapters 1 through 4, if you were to go back and read those, contain two major truths. One of them is human sinfulness prevents anyone from attaining salvation through good works. You can't get there on your own. It only comes through Christ, and through Christ alone. It also tells us that God justifies or declares righteous only those who have faith in Christ and His death on the cross. In chapters 5 through 8, it describes the life of faith for those who believe in Christ. And chapter 8 is kind of like the climax of Paul's letter here. It says, "Since we are in Christ, and we can never be condemned, and we have been liberated from the law and to live by the Spirit's law, we may think that living a life of godliness would be simple, but we all know that it's not the case. It's not simple. It's not healthy, wealthy, and wise. And the reason that our life can be such a struggle is because of the presence of the flesh. In Romans chapter 7, the chapter before this, Paul defined the flesh as an indwelling sin. And it's that flesh that allows us to sin, even in a believer's life. When we become believers, God provides the benefits, though. And He provides the blessings for us, for His people. But He does not remove this indwelling sin from our lives. We still walk and breathe in this flesh that we have. He does not provide us with the power through His indwelling Holy Spirit to overcome this sin's influence and to make decisions that please Him. God can give us that power to do that. God is, as preacher is telling us, is greater in me. We are overcomers, more than conquerors. You see, the Christian life is not a walk in the park. And once we're born into God's kingdom through faith, we're going to start a journey that needs to remain focused on obeying and loving everything that God has provided for us. It's a battle. It's a battle right up here most of the time. And if we lose that focus and start dwelling on life the way it used to be, we can fall into those lustful sins of our past. Instead of overcoming sin in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We tend to give life to our sinful nature more often than the power of God. Paul declared that there were two mindsets in the world, the mindset of the flesh and the mindset of the spirit. And nothing has changed even today. There are still those two mindsets. It must be all of one or all of the other. But there's a battle going on. Can I remind you that Matthew chapter number 6, verse 24, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." And one mindset, if we allow it, will influence us to live according to the flesh. A lifestyle that reflects the worldly ambitions that are out there. Me first. I want my own way. No one can tell me what to do. That mindset is born out of a rejection of God's plan. Living according to the flesh, the Bible tells us there in verse 6, is rebellion against God's authority and guidance. And it is called death. Hostile to God, as it says there in verse number 7. Carnal mind is enmity against God. And when we choose to go our own way, me, myself, and I, and you can't tell me to do it that way, the Bible says we're unable to please God. But if we've ever received that grace that God's bestowed upon us, you see, we've received a free gift. I don't know about you, but I like free. It's a free gift of eternal life. But when that moment that happens, it's when Satan begins to work against us. He's that enemy who wants to battle for your mind. He does not want you to trust God. He does not want you to experience the peace and the hope and the love that only comes from God. He wants to make it a battle. And it always happens on Sunday. Why is that? Because he doesn't want you to be in church hearing the Word of God. It's a battle, constant battle. He wants to take control of your lives. He wants to cause unrest in your life. He wants to cause you to have no peace. He wants to cause you to have no hope. He wants to cause you to have no joy. And it all goes in the battle of the mind. Or we can have that mindset of the Spirit, the life, and the peace. And it all started when we repented and turned to trust Christ. When we were empowered by that Holy Spirit to live according to the Spirit, and when we were focusing our thinking on the things of God and the things of the Spirit, and how we want to grow in a right relationship with God, and how we want to worship and obey Him, and how we want to be servants. Think on these things. The battle for the control of your life takes place right here. In the mind. What are you being tempted to focus your mind on today? I mean, there's a lot out there. You can list anger. You can list resentment. You can list discouragement. You can list selfishness. All of those things can change your mindset. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Listen to whom our gospel is lost to as these verses are read. Speaking about blindness versus sight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul planted this church on his second missionary journey. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to the believers regarding a variety of problems in the church. And some of those problems were discord. Some were sexual immorality. Some were lawsuits. I'm going to sue you. Man, I've heard that recently. Some are marriage. Some are divorce. Some are Christian liberty. There were many problems in the church. And then about a year later, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians to defend his authority as Christ's apostle against those who claim that Paul was a self-appointed apostle. Many lost people heard the gospel. But rather than yielding to the Spirit, they listened to another voice. Did you see it there in verse number 4? In whom the God of this world, the little g, one of those titles for Satan himself. He's also called the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the father of lies, and many more names in Scripture. And he likes to use his power that he has to extend his evil work to people who do not know God. And he continues to tempt those who do know God. battle over the mind. He has blinded the mind. And he not only tempts people, he's blinded the minds. He doesn't have the power to blind anyone he chooses, though. It says he blinds people who have chosen to reject the light. Did you see it there? Has blinded the minds of them which believe not. They've rejected the light. They've rejected the gospel. And this is the condemnation. He blinds those who reject the light in Christ. John wrote in John chapter number 3, he said, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." And he went on to say, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Paul's emphasis was on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He praised the Savior in the first four verses. He told us how it's been unveiled to believers of being transformed by the Spirit of the Lord in chapter number 3. But that last part of verse number 4 there tells us the purpose of Satan in blinding unbelievers. It says, "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." And this shows that it's not too late. It's not too late for those who are in darkness to come to light. God's still saving sinners. But when we look at this blindness versus the sight, we find that Satan is the god of this world, that little g. That Satan blinds the minds of those who prefer moral and spiritual darkness. But can I tell you, the gospel, it offers hope. I like that word, hope. Did a study on hope. I like that. That strong and confident expectation that God's going to do what He says He's going to do. We should live as children of light. And beware of those temptations of this world that we live in. And there are many. Many, many, many. Lastly, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. This human wisdom that we spoke of versus the mind of Christ. Listen to what the natural man thinks of the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look at verse 12. "Now we have received," thank God, "not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God," notice, "for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." Again, Paul's dealing with a variety of problems in the church. One of the main reasons for the problems was the division that they had. They understand the nature of the gospel. The Corinthian believers did not recognize this wisdom of God. And Paul had to explain this wisdom to them. You see, one of the blessings of salvation is that God's people have not received a spirit of this world, but the Spirit which only comes from God. Did you see it there in verse 12? We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. The coming of the Spirit of God was promised back in the Old Testament. And all through the ages it's been promised. And then Jesus came, died, and rose again and bestowed that Spirit upon us. All of God's gifts are free. There's that word free again. I like it. There's nothing that we can do to earn them, including the indwelling Spirit. The Spirit helps us know what these free benefits are and these blessings are. They cannot be understood, the Bible says, by human wisdom. Cannot. It says only those who have received this Spirit can truly understand the truth of the Christian faith and the practice of it. Wow. Have you ever tried to read the Bible in your lost condition and find it unable to understand? But then when God saves you and you start to read the Bible, it's like, wow, you get things. Wow, wow, wow. I get it. Now I know why people do the things they do. Now I know why I do what I do. It doesn't mean that lost people cannot grasp the truth that we as believers embrace. They can and they do if God shines that light upon them and quickens the heart and makes them alive. But they can frequently reject them. The lies and the myths that they think have no bearing on their lives. The Bible says that the person who does not have the Spirit will not truly understand the truth in God's Word. It says it's foolishness to them. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Wow. Foolishness. Lastly, the spiritual person. According to this, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He can evaluate everything. Everything that the Spirit knows, we should understand in order to please God. There are some things, I think even in all my years of God that saved me, I was 17 years. I still have questions sometimes. Sometimes the mystery of God is amazing. But where do we get our wisdom from as believers? Right here. Through the teaching of the Holy Spirit, telling us. When we read it, He's explaining it to us. Look at verse 16 of that chapter in chapter 2. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Notice the last phrase there. But we have what? The mind of Christ. When God saves you, He places that in you. Hey, we need to be used by God to remove this veil from the eyes of the lost. There's still a lot of lost people out there. Amen? Maybe we can perform an act of service to them. Maybe we can just review a gospel tract with a lost friend. Maybe we can share our testimony. Man, your testimony goes a long way. Just your testimony. Daily in God's Word. Maybe inviting someone to church or to Sunday school. Or maybe just to pray for them who are out there. There's two mindsets. And guess what? There's a battle going on. And we'll look at that more closely tonight and next week. Let's stand.